So this passage was one of the passages in our lectionary for this Sunday. For those of you that don't know, a lectionary is a group of texts. Scholars, worship leaders got together a long time ago, several decades ago, and picked out the texts in the Bible that they thought should be used in worship, the most important ones that they thought should be used in worship. And they put them in a three-year cycle. So long ago, this passage was picked for this Sunday. This passage is from a body of literature called wisdom literature in the Bible. Wisdom literature has the operating belief that God's wisdom is baked into God's creation. That the wisdom of God is in creation. And so, if you want to understand the wisdom of God, which is an essential nature of God, if you want to understand the wisdom of God, you have to study the world around you, study nature, study human nature. And as you do so, you will discover the wisdom of God. An interesting side note to wisdom literature is that the wisdom of God is talked about in the feminine. So an essential aspect of God is talked about in the language of femininity. Today's passage is an amazing passage for this Sunday, given that the conversation is about ignorance and the calamity that comes from ignorance. It's a passage that talks about wisdom, has wisdom actually talking in terms of the language of the prophets. Prophets often assess their communities and see if there is injustice. And if there is injustice, they condemn the injustice in the community. And they condemn the community for allowing the injustice to take place. Here, wisdom is condemning the community not because of injustice, but because of ignorance. Whatever is going on, when the author of this text wrote, the community was going in the wrong direction. And the author believed that this was because of willful ignorance. But what struck me when I read this text for being for this Sunday was that passage in the middle. Perhaps you caught it. I'll read it again, starting with Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called you and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when panic strikes. When panic strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish come upon you. That's an amazing text to be reading on this Sunday, while Hurricane Florence is still striking the Carolinas, still dumping rain on people that are already deluged by floods. It's an amazing text to be read on the same weekend when the most powerful typhoon in the world has just plowed its way across the Philippines and is heading towards China. It's an amazing message about the destructive power of ignorance. The passage this week talks about how ignorance can be the cause of great suffering and uses the symbolism of natural catastrophe. But in our case, it's literally natural catastrophe. We don't know how much global warming climate change has impacted the number and severity of the storms that we now face. But you can look back through time and see the increases. We don't know whether these hurricanes that have caused so much suffering in the world this weekend would have been there if had it not been for global warming. We don't know if they would have been weaker. We don't know if they would have carried less rain. But we do know that climate scientists long ago predicted that as global warming increased, that storms would be bigger, that droughts would be longer, that floods would be heavier, and that those causes, those outcomes would keep growing unless something was changed about the amount of carbon dioxide we put into the atmosphere. We don't know, but it makes sense to believe that the very fuel of these hurricanes, which is the warmth from the oceans, is increasing the nature and destructiveness of those hurricanes as the oceans warm, and we know that the oceans are warming. This is an amazing passage in that it has wisdom speaking to us, telling us that it's on us. That we've been given the gifts of the ability to look at the world around us and make insights into the nature of things from creation. And we've been given a creation that has baked into it the very love of God. And if we can discern that, and it's not hard to discern, then we should be able to live lives that are full of purpose and meaning and justice and prosperity. It's an amazing insight, this insight that the world has everything we need if we can just unlock its secrets. I have my differences with wisdom literature because wisdom literature doesn't account for what we talked about last week, the stain that we have with us, that lens that we inherit that leads us to think that the natural order may lend itself to supporting our racism or our sexism or our classism. And many a hurtful project has been carried out in the name of natural order. We always have to be suspicious of the biases we carry into our investigation of what wisdom is trying to teach us. But scientific method is a great method for understanding those biases and testing to see whether they exist. To make a theory and to put it out there and have people from all over the world test that theory and challenge that theory and argue that theory is a great way to find wisdom in the world around us. And 97% of the climate scientists have put forward the strong belief that humanity is responsible for the warming of our planet, and that the warming of our planet will lead to great suffering and destruction unless it is stopped. There are a handful of people that are making a lot of money by keeping things the way they are. And they have manufactured lies to tell us, lies that say that, well, this global warming thing may or may not exist. We really don't know. We need to take more time, study it longer. They've manufactured these lies. And our political leaders have bought into the lies because it's so much easier to live with the lie than to face the truth. To face the truth is costly. To face the truth means that political decisions will be made that won't be popular. And so we've had this mix of lies and half-truths which have slowed our progress towards finding solutions. That is on the people who are generating those lies. And it's on those people who act on those half-truths even though they know they're not true. But we all have some responsibility too, because our lives are easier because of the burning of fossil fuels. We can live in a world where we can eat more meat. We can live in a world where we can go anywhere at relatively affordable prices. We live in a world where we can buy cheap goods from all over the world because they're imported cheaply across the globe based on the consumption of fossil fuels. Our lives have more stuff in them because of the presence of fossil fuels. And it's always easier to look the other way in the face of a lie rather than challenging it when that lie is beneficial. But this text tells us that there is a price to be paid, that willful ignorance leads to costly suffering. And the people in the Philippines and the people in the Carolinas are now paying that price, as others in Houston and Puerto Rico have paid that price, as others in India and China have paid that price, as others will pay that price as time goes on and the challenges get greater and the suffering gets greater. The text today says that the wisdom of God looks at this suffering and says, that's on you. There is no promise of salvation riding in and saving us from our willful ignorance. God has given us a great gift to be able to discern truth and to choose whether or not to follow that truth. But along with that gift comes the responsibility to do the right thing and the cost if we fail to do so. It's the same with any person who matures into an adult. At some point, the parent can no longer make their decisions for them and has to release them to pay the price of their decisions. We all know that. This congregation has looked at and talked about and faced the problem of global warming. And I hope some of us will take Rich up on the offer to actually get involved in a new way of getting our hands dirty and working on ending the problem. We know that. And so this truth about global warming and the destructiveness and the suffering it causes is not new to us. But what is new to us, I think, in this approach of wisdom literature is to be clear about our assessment of what we do and do not know. And what we do not know is how this will stop. What we do not know is how much effort it will take to turn the world around. What we do not know is when it is the time to give up and stop trying. This is information we do not have. And to act as if we know is, again, an action of willful ignorance. We don't know what the implications of our actions will be. We don't know whether we can change the world. And because we have this gap of ignorance, we have a space that we can either fill in with our own assumptions that could be terribly wrong, or we can fill it in with hope that there's never a time to give up. There's never a time to stop trying. There is never a time to cease the work of transforming the world around us. This is our truth, that baked into the very matter of creation, baked into humanity itself, is the wisdom and love of God. And in that wisdom and in that love is great power and potential to transform the world around us. We have just begun to examine the possibilities of living out of that power and truth. This is our calling today, to look clearly at the suffering in the world and to acknowledge it, to look clearly into our responsibility for that suffering and the future suffering to come if things don't change, and to look clearly into our opportunity to be a part of God's redemption of this planet through humanity. We are called to be the bearers of God's knowledge to the world, the bearers of God's love, the bearers of God's good news. Amen.